Genesis 28, verses 10 to 17. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven.
May I speak in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jacob's Ladder is a name that we all know. A quick Google search as I was preparing this talk yielded a plethora of results. Amongst others, there are two films called Jacob's Ladder, three books, at least 14 songs, a folk music festival in Israel, five UK footpaths and another in St Helena, a type of knife, an actual ladder used at sea, a plant, and a piece of electrical equipment. But the thing that struck me the most, and it is really fitting, is that some rays of sunlight are also known as Jacob's Ladder. These are the rays of sunlight that can be seen at twilight when the sun itself is below the line of the horizon, and they're usually orange in colour as dust particles in the air scatter blue and green light, leaving the yellow and red light to travel through the air. They are the rays of sunlight that look like they're projected across the whole sky, spreading out from a point on the horizon and brightening the evening for a time after the sun itself has set. They are quite beautiful, especially on clear evenings. They're also a good metaphor for today's passage from Genesis, because what we see in it is God casting the light of hope into the midst of the darkness in which Jacob found himself. The story starts with Jacob on the run. Last week, Francesca reminded us of how Jacob had deceived his father Isaac and taken the blessing that was intended for his brother Esau, the right of the firstborn son that Esau had despised enough to sell to Jacob for a plate of food. As a result, Esau was plotting to kill Jacob, and so Rebekah had arranged for him to flee to her brother Laban. Jacob had clearly left in a bit of a panic. For instance, he had no pillow with him, as verse 11 of this morning's reading tells us that he used a stone he found on the ground instead. It can't have been the most comfortable of nights, but he does manage to find rest and sleep. Perhaps he was even treated to some Jacob's Ladder rays of sunlight as day turns to night. It feels like a moment of peace and calm in what must have been quite a stressful situation, out in the middle of nowhere, on the run from his bitter brother. And he was genuinely nowhere. The certain place where he stopped for the night isn't remarkable for anything other than being unremarkable. And then, in verse 12, in the middle of the night and in the midst of all that darkness, Jacob started to dream. In his dream, he saw the angels of God ascending and descending a stairway that connected heaven and earth. Obviously, no one actually knows exactly what Jacob saw, but a lot of commentators think that it may have been a bit like the stepped side of a ziggurat. The top of a ziggurat was often thought to be where the gods lived, so it makes sense that Jacob would see angels moving up and down a structure like that. But note the order of motion in verse 12. The angels are ascending and descending, going up before they come down, meaning that they were already there on earth, with Jacob in the darkness. And that's why Jacob was able to declare in verse 16 that surely the Lord is in this place and I was not aware of it. Jacob's focus soon shifted, however, like the way that those rays of evening sunlight grab our attention, and he saw God standing above it all. In this encounter, God brings light straight into Jacob's darkness, speaking directly to his need. In verses 13 to 15, God reaffirmed to Jacob the promise he had already made to Abraham and to Isaac, a promise of numerous descendants, more than can be counted, filling the land and being a blessing to all peoples on earth. That's the long-term vision, but I think for Jacob the immediate takeaway from this encounter will have been God's words in verse 15. I am with you, and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Those words must have been a huge comfort and reassurance to Jacob in the darkness of his panicked flight from Esau's death threat. In a breath, God has just promised that Esau won't be catching up with him anytime soon. Not until Jacob has had a large family, at least. That in turn also suggests that Jacob's immediate journey to find a wife from his uncle's family will also be successful, not least because God has promised to go with him and to make him a father. If you read ahead a little beyond today's reading, verses 20 to 22 record a vow that Jacob made to God in return. Broadly, Jacob vowed that if God kept his promise to Jacob, Jacob would follow him as his God. I can feel in that Jacob basically saying, I'm in a really sticky situation, but if you can do as you say and keep me safe and bring me safely back here again, then you really must be God and worthy of my worship. As many of you will know, Catherine, Amy, Benjamin and I have now all relocated to Cambridgeshire. We moved in March, just as lockdown was starting, and it's been a particularly unsettling time for all of us. Leaving all the things and people we know in Sutton to make a new start was never going to be easy, but doing it in lockdown has been really hard. We've not been able to get out and meet people, or to get involved in anything. And while I think I can say that we're now settled in the four walls of our new home, we're definitely not yet settled in our new community. It's been a difficult time. Preparing this talk and reading again about God's promise to Jacob has made me look back over the past weeks and months. And when I do that, I can see God with us and at work in our situation, which has been a huge reassurance for me. Lots of little things show me that God has been with us in our move. We've been blessed in the logistics of the initial move in March, even if lockdown meant that much of our furniture, food and clothes didn't join us for a few weeks. I've had plenty of work to do, but not too much, so my concern over the risk of redundancy or being moved to a four-day week has not materialised. Good weather and Benjamin learning to ride his bike just in time meant we could get out and enjoy family cycle rides together. 7 weeks ago, when I started reading and praying through this passage, we didn't know when we would be selling our house in Sutton, whether or when the children might go back to school, and how we would manage living in Cambridgeshire but being at school in Sutton if they did. But God arranged it so that they both went back to school on the same days each week, with the sale completing just before the end of term, and eased lockdown enough for Catherine and the children to be able to accept a blessing of hospitality from a friend with a camper van on their drive for the last school nights after the house was sold. Looking back, I can see God with us and watching over us in all of that, bringing light into the darkness of our uncertainty. God has definitely blessed us in all those ways over the past months, and probably in even more that I don't yet recognise. But the real reassurance for me is not only what has gone before, but the promise that he will continue to be with us going forward too. Even if we hadn't had any of those blessings, God's promises are still bigger than a period of difficulty. The promises that he made to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and the promise that he made through Jesus. I suspect that some of you will know this story, but it feels appropriate here. A man was walking with God along a beach and looking back along the journey of his life, visible as footprints in the sand. He could see all the difficult passages of his life and noticed that at those times there was only one set of footprints. So he challenged God about that. "Where were you?" he asked. "Why is there only one set of footprints at the times I needed you the most?" And God replied, "Those are the times when I carried you." I think that Jacob realised that in this meeting with God, and it's an important lesson for us all. It is too easy for us to be so intently focused on the plane in which we, like Jacob, are running, that we don't notice God there with us. There have been moments over the past few months when I had my doubts. Back in March, just after we moved, the sale of our house collapsed. Then, when lockdown was announced, our removals men refused to leave their homes, and we had no idea when we would be able actually to get most of our possessions up to Cambridgeshire. I remember my first trip to the village shop in late March. It was bitterly cold and the shelves were almost bare. Most of our food was still in Sutton and we needed to stock the empty shelves of our new cupboards. That was a really low point for me, particularly as it coincided with a quiet patch at work that had me panicking about my job security. All of that experience, in March and April in particular, really reminded me of the importance of depending on God and of trusting him. We're still really to get to know many people or to get stuck into things like a new church and our local community, so we have a long way still to go. But if God has been with us and watching over us so far, he will continue to do that, and I'm sure he's people in line for us to meet and get to know soon. I can be confident of this because God keeps his promises. Your experience of difficult times may, of course, be different to mine. Being a Christian is not an assurance that nothing bad will happen to us. Far from it. But God promises to be with us and to shine light into all of those dark times if only we look for him. He's been with us throughout lockdown, throughout worse events than that, and he promises that he will be with us through the times yet to come. God's promise to Jacob is a promise that he kept when someone other than an angel descended that stairway from heaven to earth, God's own son. Despite all the things that humankind has done and will in the future do to despise God, like Esau despised his birthright, God keeps his promise and is with us through Jesus. In fact, he's more than with us. He died on the cross to pay the price needed to redeem us from our sins and reconcile us to himself. And, as Hebrews chapter 4 verses 14 to 16 reminds us, Jesus is our great high priest who has ascended into heaven, a high priest who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin, and who enables us to approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is the ultimate fulfilment of God's promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and it is foreshadowed in that dream of a busy stairway connecting heaven and earth, an open line of communication between God and human beings, his fallen creation. Jesus was a descendant of Jacob through his son Judah, and by his death on the cross, he brought about God's blessing to all peoples on earth. As high priest, he is able to represent us in front of God, and as the light of the world, he is able to pierce even the deepest darkness in which we might find ourselves. So when, like Jacob, we find ourselves facing and possibly running from difficulties in our lives, let's remember God's promise and let's look for him at work in that situation through Jesus. As another of Jacob's descendants, King David, wrote in Psalm 23, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Even if you can't see it at the time, the Lord is in every difficult place with each of us, however events may unfold. Amen.